Well, welcome back. You made it back, so I guess you liked yesterday. That's always a good thing when people come back. I'd be a little concerned if you didn't. Now, I brought the sunshine and I brought the warm weather. I did not bring these clouds. That was correct. Blame him. That's right. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Praise God. Clouds outside, sun in here. Well, I want to just move us into where we're going today, because there's a lot to unpack here. The College of Prayer is all about fullness and fulfillment. Every lesson we teach in the College of Prayer either deals with fullness or fulfillment. Fullness is everything that God wants to do in us. Fulfillment is everything God wants to do through us. You see, you can't give what you haven't received. Hello, I know it's early. Amen. You can't give what you haven't received. So everything God does in you is because he wants to do it through you. When you come to Christ, when you're led into salvation, it's because now he wants you to lead others to salvation. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's because he wants to use you and lead other people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When God pours gifts into your life, it's so that he can work through you for the advancement of his kingdom. See, everything that God does in you, he wants to do through you. And there are things he cannot do through you until he does it in you. I got somebody in here. And so I want to bring together fullness and fulfillment in one message today, and that's in chapter 8 of your books, the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. You see, what I want to take a minute here to unpack is the whole part of the Lord's Prayer pattern that Dale touched on last night.
Fellowship.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's all about fellowship, primarily about restoring fellowship between us and God, between us and someone else. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I love what Dale said last night about it being trespasses. We do trespass against other people. And we allow other people to trespass against us. And so, in this session, I want to bring together the fullness of receiving forgiveness and the fulfillment of giving forgiveness. You see, one of the greatest lies that Satan wants us to believe is that the greatest power on earth is revenge and unforgiveness. That we can keep somebody wounded and shamed by holding them captive. And unforgiveness. But I believe that Jesus today wants to break the stronghold of that lie and give us new weapons. The greatest weapons on earth, the greatest weapon on earth, the power to forgive and to release. Now, this part of the Lord's Prayer pattern, as I said, is all about restoring fellowship. Fellowship between us and God and each other. And if we are going to be people who are forgiven, we must be people who are forgivers. In fact, it says in Luke 6:37, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, I don't hear too much preached on that. It's kind of a scary passage, if you think about it. There is some level, I'm not trying to get theological here on you, but there is some level of blessing and release and freedom in our lives that stays locked up until you and I choose to forgive other people. And that's what Jesus is saying. Forgive and you will be forgiven. You see, we can live our lives in the torment of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, hate, resentment, or we can live our lives in an atmosphere where freedom and grace and peace and mercy and forgiveness define our homes and our lives, our workplaces, our churches. We have a choice to make. You see, in God's economy, forgiveness is the principal activity. And it is the heart attitude that is needed to pave the way to lasting freedom. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I personally think there's no more difficult line to pray in the Lord's Prayer pattern than this one. In fact, as we travel around the world, this is fascinating to me. The number one issue that we deal with in the lives of church leaders is unforgiveness. For 6 years now, as I've traveled around, that is the number one issue that our church leaders are facing, is being wrapped up in unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger because of the wounds they receive in ministry. Most people would think it would be something like lust or pride. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And there is no deeper calling in the kingdom of God than to learn to live out this line from the Lord's Prayer pattern. This part of the Lord's Prayer pattern, to learn and relearn what it is to receive and to experience and to give forgiveness to those around us. And then to do it again, and to do it again, and to do it again. This phrase of the Lord's Prayer pattern, I believe, is intentionally right in the middle of the prayer pattern. Because if there is a central theme to all of Jesus' teachings, it is that God is in the business of restoring, redeeming, reclaiming, renewing what has been wrong and making it right. This is a central theme to all of Jesus' teachings. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And he made it abundantly clear that nothing was more important than God's call for us than to be people of forgiveness, receiving it and giving it. In fact, the major draw to Jesus, right, is that he forgives us. So if you and I choose not to forgive other people, we're essentially denying the very reason that we came to Christ. Oh, God, would you forgive me of all the sins that I've done? But Lord, don't ask me to forgive that person. Don't ask me to forgive them of that. But I do need you to forgive me of this. Right? You can't do that. You deny the very basis of your relationship with Christ if you choose to withhold forgiveness towards people. Forgiveness isn't easy, but it is required. In fact, in Hebrews 12, write this verse down, and you can look at it later. It says, verses 14 through 15, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Listen. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Now here it is. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble to defile many. Ooh. So recognize here, there's so much in this verse, but recognize here that forgiveness is living in peace. Right? Forgiveness is living peace, and it is directly connected to holiness. And the roots you allow to grow in the garden of your life not only affect you, they affect those around you. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble to defile you? No, to defile many. You see, you, when you allow bitterness to grow in your life, it grows up, and as weeds grow in a garden, they don't just affect one little spot, they begin to affect the whole garden and all of the plants, all of the vegetation, all of the flowers. The life begins to be choked out because you haven't pulled the weeds. You haven't pulled up the bitterness. You see, bitterness is nothing more than old unforgiveness that grows from a seed of injustice. Oh, I'd write that down. That's a pretty good one. Maybe tweet that. Bitterness is nothing more than old unforgiveness that grows from a seed of injustice. And Jesus tells us to forgive because if we don't, that seed of injustice quickly grows roots that choke the life out of our spirit and even out of our physical bodies. One of the number one reasons we're sick is because of unforgiveness. In fact, literally, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, a study came out by medical journal that said one of the primary indicators of heart disease is unforgiveness. Now, I was ministering several years ago in the Middle East, and we were in this gathering just like this at our campus in Amman, Jordan, and as we're worshiping, I see this about maybe 16, 17-year-old kid, and he's sitting there, and he's worshiping, and he's just like this, like so bound. And we went into a time of prayer, and his mother and he came up to me, and she begins to say, "Will you pray for my son?" And she begins to talk, and yeah. And I already knew, the Holy Spirit told me, as soon as he come up, what was wrong. And so she's talking, and I just kind of quiet. And I said, "You are bound because of your inability to forgive those who have wounded you. And you're physically bound because of it." The mom stops talking. She looks at me. She said, "How did you know that, Pastor?" I said, "The Holy Spirit told me." I said, "Is this right?" The boy looks up. "Yes." Come to find out, he had been abused sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I said, "Do you want to be healed today?" And he said, yes. And I said, "Then you've got to forgive." I said, "I'm going to walk you through a prayer, and I want you to begin to name those people who have wounded you." And so this boy, he begins to pray, and he begins to forgive people by name. And as he's forgiving them, he goes from this locked-up position, and slowly he begins to stretch out his arms, and he ends up on the ground, knees, and he just begins to worship the Father, totally set free, as he gave forgiveness. God brought healing. And I watched him over those next 2 days, and he was dancing with joy before the Lord. So often our inability give people locks us up. You see, forgiveness is such a kingdom priority that Jesus makes sure we understand this priority by adding an addendum to the Lord's Prayer. You see, he gives us this prayer pattern, and the only part of the prayer pattern that he comes back to and addresses one more time is the area of fellowship, forgiveness. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgression." And the point is that if we're going to receive mercy, we are required to extend it. Hello. We're required to extend it. Receiving forgiveness has to grow us to be so like Christ that we extend forgiveness to other people as freely as we want it for ourselves. And to fail to forgive someone leads us down a path of despair, of hopelessness, of loneliness, and Jesus calls us to take a better path. Your best life comes when you learn to forgive. You see, forgiveness is a choice. In reality, it's a crisis of your will. It's a crisis of your will. And since God requires us to forgive, He has given us the ability and the power to forgive. And so when we don't, we are choosing. We are choosing. It is a choice. It is a choice. Forgiveness is difficult for us because it often pulls at our sense of justice. We want justice for the offenses that we have suffered. But you and I are incapable of giving true righteous justice. Only God can do that. We want revenge. Paul tells us in Romans 12, 19 that we're never to take our own revenge. And you might say, well, you don't know how much this person has hurt me. But my friends, don't you understand? They're still hurting you. They're still wounding you. They're still causing pain. You don't forgive someone for their sake. You forgive someone for your sake. So that you can be free. So that you can be whole. So that you can walk into the fullness of life that Christ has called you to. Your need to forgive someone is not an issue between you and your offender. Your need to forgive someone is an issue between you and your God. Amen. Hello. Yeah. I'm going to say that one again. I'll probably write that one down. Your ability, your need to forgive someone is not an issue between you and your offender. It is an issue between you and your God. Yeah. And we are called to be people who receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. And what pleases God is that we keep short accounts instead of keeping score. Even the most evil sins against us can be forgiven, and God can use the platform of our pain to be a platform for His purposes. I told you yesterday that I grew up in a pastor's home, and praise God, I'm glad. How many pastor's kids do we have in here? We got one. Oh, yeah, Dale's son. Okay. We got a couple. We got a few. All right. God bless you. And when I was about 12 years old, I walked into my kitchen in Greensboro, North Carolina. My parents were pastoring a growing church there. God was moving. And as I walked into the house and walked into the kitchen, there sat my brother, my sister, and my mother. And immediately I knew something was wrong. Seriously wrong. And as I sat down at that kitchen table, my brother began to tell a story. And he told us that for the previous 5 years of his life, he had been sexually molested by a man in our church. A man that we trusted. A man that we loved, a man that we had welcomed into our home. He was part of our family. And I watched in that moment, as a 12-year-old boy, the innocence of our family be ripped away. And I watched leaders in a church who had no idea how to deal with that kind of pain. And many of them, most of them, wanted to sweep it under the rug and pretend like it never happened. I watched as some of my father's closest friends, elders, leaders in our church, turned their backs on him. I watched as my dad's best friend showed up to the hearing of this man to testify in his defense so that he would get a lighter. I watched as the elders of that church, a week after this all came out, asked for my dad's resignation. 1 week. Instead of embracing, they distanced because they had no idea how to deal with that kind of pain. And I watched as Satan began to put his claws in each one of our lives of pain, of hurt, of anger, of bitterness, of shame, fear. and it began to eat us alive. In 6 months, we left that church. And the church split. And the enemy had his way. But even God can take the greatest pain and use it as his greatest platform. Even God can do that. And when we think that we cannot forgive, God can do it through us. What it takes is a decision to choose God's best. It is a crisis of the will. And it is us inviting Jesus into the pain, inviting Jesus into the weakness of our inability to forgive people, and allowing him to do something through us. He can use our former pain as a starting place for his greatest purposes. And only he can do that. Now, I want to just get real practical here for a second. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not minimizing. Forgiveness is not denying what you've suffered, what you've been through, the offenses, the hurt that someone has brought to you. You see, people who try to forget find they cannot. You see, God says he'll remember our sins no more in Hebrews 10:17, but God being omniscient, all-knowing, he cannot forget. What that means is he will remember our sins no more. It means that he willfully chooses never to use the past against us. That's what he's saying. Read Psalm 103. You can read it later. When we say we have forgiven someone, but we continue to bring up the past against them, we really have not forgiven. Any marriages in the room? Forgiveness also doesn't mean you place yourself back into a place of being wounded over and over and over. That's not what I'm saying. Please understand. Now, forgiveness is a willful choice that I'm not going to get even with you. I'm not going to wound you because you wounded me. I'm not going to offend you because you offended me. I'm going to choose to leave it in the hands of God. And the root of forgive is give. And giving is always a choice, right? We have a choice to give forgiveness to people. It's a decision of the will, and we've all voluntarily choose to put down our weapons of revenge and anger and hate and pick up greater weapons of love and mercy and forgiveness and kindness and blessing. And listen, friends, when we do that, when we put down those weapons of anger, bitterness, and take up grace and mercy, love and blessing, when we do that, we become like Jesus. We become a forgiven forgiver. And that is what Jesus has called us to. To become a forgiven forgiver. And all of this leads to the understanding that to follow Jesus is to adopt a lifestyle of fearless forgiveness. There is no room for anything other than a full embrace of the Father's forgiveness in our life and a full commitment to extend that same forgiveness to other people. This is all wrapped up in that whole part of the Lord's Prayer pattern. Forgive us as we forgive. See, Jesus has already paid the price, and in our gratitude, we're to receive it. We're to experience his grace, and we are to extend it to others. You see, failure to extend forgiveness to other people is to stay locked into our pain, locked up in our grief, locked up in our hurt. Jesus wants to unlock all of that, so that we are free. Now, how do you forgive from your heart? First, you've got to acknowledge the pain. You've got to acknowledge the pain. I know everyone in this room has gone through some pain, through some hurt, through some offenses. And you can't pretend like it didn't happen. You can't sweep it under a rug. You can't try to coat it with a nice new coat of paint. You see, when Jesus wants to take up all of the pain and the offenses, the bitter roots in our lives, he wants to expose it. Let it all come to the surface so that he can deal with the pain. And he is the only one capable of dealing with all the pain, of all of the hurt that you've been through. If your pain and you allowing God to touch that pain doesn't visit the emotional core of your life, you'll never fully deal with it. This is why so many men stay locked up, because they take emotions and they put them way over here and they compartmentalize them, and it can just stay over there. I don't need to deal with it. But Jesus wants to take all that. You see, emotions are not a bad thing. They're part of who God made us to be, and he wants to refine them. He wants to heal them. He wants to make them come alive in the character and nature of who he is. And so oftentimes we need Jesus to touch the very emotional core of our lives and bring the Holy Spirit into the pain of our hurt. And then if we are going to learn to become a forgiven forgiver, if we're going to really learn what it means to pray this part of the Lord's Prayer pattern, we also have to learn to become receivers. See, I see a lot of people that stay locked up in the pain of their past, but also in the sins of their past. They never fully step into their destiny, into their calling, into their giftings, because they stay so bound by what they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They've never fully accepted the call to be a receiver of forgiveness. The full awareness and the full acknowledgement that God can deal with all that, that he has dealt with all that to set us free. God isn't calling us from our past. He's calling us from our future to step into who he fully created us to be. And to do that, we have to learn to be a receiver of his forgiveness. There is nothing you've done. Nothing that he is not already aware of. That he has not already made a path of freedom for. Everything you've done. Everything you've done. Think about Peter. Here's Peter who's been with Jesus for 3 years. And he denies Jesus 3 times. We kind of, oh, Peter, what a jerk. I wonder what I would have done. And then Jesus, in his grace, there he is, you know, cooking after he rises from the dead, and he's there on the beach and he's cooking breakfast. How many of you know that was a good meal? And Jesus, who is desperate for forgiveness, jumps out of the boat and he begins to swim and he comes up to the shore. And Jesus takes him. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And every time he says that, he's saying, Peter, I forgive you. Peter, I forgive you. Peter, I forgive you. I release you. It's okay. It's not who you are. You did it, but it's not who you are. And he's saying the same thing some of us even here this morning. That's not who you are. Do you love me? Do you trust me? I've already let that go. You've got to too. And you will never step into your destiny. You'll never step into the fullness of who God created you to be if you can't learn to receive the fullness of His forgiveness. And to cut off the accuser's voice. Open yourself up to the Father's voice. I see way too many people who are listening to the accuser's voice. Oh, remember what you did. Remember that thing, what you said to that person. Remember that thing you looked at when nobody was around. Oh, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to come to the College of Prayer and learn to pray? Who do you think you are? God doesn't want to talk to you. God doesn't want to hear from you. You got to learn. Shut up and sit down. In the name of Jesus. You see, the Father's voice is a voice of comfort and wholeness and healing. You see, even when he disciplines out of love. There is no shame in the Father's voice. So we got to learn to be receivers, because the only thing that God cannot heal in our lives is the cover-up. Hello. The things you choose to cover up and not let Him touch. He already knows about them. The only thing He can't heal is the things you don't let Him touch. And if we are to pray the Lord's Prayer, we need to be prepared to become kingdom people. And to be kingdom people means that we are to become forgiven forgivers. To reject that God has forgiven you or to fail to forgive another person is to abandon the kingdom of God. And if we choose not to forgive, we are held captive by grief and despair and guilt and shame, even demonic attack. Hello, read Matthew 18 later. In 2007, I walked into a College of Prayer gathering in Atlanta. And as I walked in, I saw about 10 people from the church that had so deeply wounded us. And all of this stuff started churning in me. All of the nastiness, all of the anger, all of the bitterness, all of the unforgiveness. See, God had already been dealing with me in those areas, and He brought me to a level of forgiveness. But there are layers of forgiveness in our lives. And so all of this stuff begins to surface. And as I see them and I'm thinking, oh God, why have you brought me here? And He began to deal with me. At the end of those 3 days, one of those leaders walked up to me. He had been a deacon in the church at the time we were there. And he walked up to me. And he put his hands on my shoulders. And he looked straight into my eyes. And he said, "We failed you, and we failed your family. Will you forgive us?" And I broke. I broke. And then a couple of years later, about 2 years ago, I was sitting with my brother on my back porch in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said to him, I said, "Jason, where have you gotten to in your ability to forgive the man who wounded you?" He said something I will never forget. He said, "John, I pray that that man is sitting beside me at the Last Supper of the Lamb." You see, God, only God, can take that kind, that kind of gross abuse, that kind of hurt, and make it His greatest platform for His purposes. And it all begins with a choice to choose to both receive and to give forgiveness. by God's grace. Today, what everything the enemy wanted to use to destroy our family, and he almost did. By God's grace, he sent us to a church in Louisville, Kentucky, who had no idea how to deal with the pain, but they did embrace the pain. And they weren't going to hide it. And those people don't even know how much they loved us back into health. They were just a group of people who opened their arms and said, "We're going to love you through hell. We're going to love the hell out of you." And they did. As a young boy, I can't even imagine the distance I put between myself and those people who were just trying to love me. And for years, they loved us. And they loved my brother. They loved my sister. They loved my father. They loved my mother. Back into health. And they don't even realize it. But instead of covering it up, they embraced it. God began to bring healing. By God's grace, my parents pastor a healthy, growing church today in California. By God's grace, my sister and her family served God in the Middle East as missionaries. By God's grace, today my brother pastors a church of over 18,000 people. He has a book coming out in 2 weeks with Tyndale called No Easy Jesus. By God's grace, he can take our greatest pain and make it his greatest platform. And only God can do that. Amen. And it starts with a choice to be a forgiven forgiver. All of the pain in your life, all of the hurt in your life, you've got to give it to God. It's all wrapped up right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer pattern. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And nothing is more important than God's call on our life to be forgiven forgivers. Are you struggling to receive the forgiveness of the Father? Today, he wants you to learn all over again what it means to receive his forgiveness. Are you struggling to give forgiveness to someone who has wounded you? Or maybe there's another layer of wholeness and healing that he wants to pour out on your life today. As you give him the broken pieces, as you give him the wounds, the bitterness, the hurt, the shame, the pain. I want to ask Craig and Ray, if you would get those pieces of paper right down, just those pencils, and if you would begin to distribute them. I want today to take the injustices, the pain, the hurt, and make it his greatest platform in our lives. As they hand out these pieces of paper, I want you on one side to write all of the things that the Holy Spirit brings to mind of the things you need to be forgiven of, that you have not allowed God to touch, the things that you have stayed captive to. And then on the other side, I want you to take and write down all of the people who have wounded you. Names of people who have wounded you. And then we're going to give it to God. We're going to release it. We're going to let it. We're going to learn today to become forgiven forgivers. Let me just pray for us right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal right now any sins that we've held on to, any sins that we have considered too great for your grace to touch. Holy Spirit, reveal those things today. Reveal those hooks in us that we've allowed the enemy to attach to our lives to keep reeling us back from fullness and wholeness and healing. Bring revelation right now, Holy Spirit, for the things that we need to be forgiven of. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring revelation of the situations, the word wounds, the emotional wounds, the physical wounds, the spiritual wounds, even sexual wounds that we've allowed to stay buried deep in our soul. The bitter roots that we've allowed to grow deep in us, to choke life out of us. Holy Spirit, would you reveal those things right now to us, each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you did not receive a piece of paper, would you just raise your hand? Let's make sure we get paper to them. The rest of us, as you get your paper, if you would just begin to write one side the things you need to be forgiven. As God brings closure to that, turn it over and begin to write the people that you need to forgive. Just use this moment between you and God. Please don't miss this moment of freedom and healing.